President Anderson, Dean Tenery. The reason I did that is because if you continued it just a little bit more, the Honorable Abe Fortas wouldn't let me tag along behind him the next time. I'd like to say that we all join in hearing from Mr. Justice Fortas, and I, for one, am particularly proud because we have some things in common. I can remember back in 65 when in summer months I was reclining on the Second Circuit Court of Appeals, taking life easy. I was, as a matter of fact, up in the judge's lunchroom having lunch. My bailiff came up very excitedly and said, "Come." I said, "What's the matter?" He said, "The president's on the phone." I said, "The president of what?" He said, "President of the United States." And I went down, and I had a word with the president, and I left New York and came down and found myself later as Solicitor General of the United States. And shortly thereafter, that same year, I'm told, I don't know if it's true or not, I obviously wasn't there, but a very respectable, reputable law firm here, was the partners were together discussing a very important legal matter. At least it was a well-paying client involved. And all of a sudden, one of the partners by the name of Abe Fortas got a message, and he announced to his partners he had an emergency call. He'd have to run over to the White House for a minute. He'd be right back, and he hadn't come back yet. So we do have that much in common anyhow. And I think you are very fortunate today for this. I've always believed that regardless of how much money you put out for your education and how costly it is, it's without a doubt paid for in part by the government, whether by tax exemption or contribution or what have you. And anyone who gets education, and the more you get, the more you owe, owes back to the community a portion of that education. And I think too often there are many who forget just that. It's particularly, I say, easy for the trained legal scholar to give back to the community. It's just a question of how you do it. I can remember when there was some discussion years ago about the Negro problem, and one very reputable lawyer said he was interested in solving the problem, the race problem, but he was approaching it a different way. He was going to save them one by one, and as soon as he got enough for himself, he'd get back to the others. You can find too much of that around the country. But whether it was in government, in the Interior Department, the Securities Exchange Commission, you name it, either officially or unofficially, you'll find the name of Abe Fortas constantly giving of his talents to the government, not just for the government alone, but to the people, if you please. And in addition to that, with his partnership in this extremely important law firm, which certainly needed at least 28 hours a day of his time, he was able to continue to advise government, agency after agency, whenever requested to do so. And even beyond that, and his day gets longer as you think of it, he found time to go in court and defend indigent defendants who had no money to pay for lawyers, culminating, as you all know, in the case of Gideon against Wainwright, which is a law from one end of the country to the other. And I say that especially to the students here, law school students. When you set your sights ahead, figure how much time you can give to the man in the street, to your local government, to your federal government. And then you can listen with that in mind to this talk this morning, because I would sum it up in the phrase, it's been used so many times, but every once in a while, it's really significant. Regardless of what you say, this whole country and the legal structure of this country and the rights of the individual people in this country are all at least a little bit better off because of Abe Fortas. Ladies and gentlemen, Associate Justice Abe Fortas, who will speak on to fulfill the Constitution. Thank you.
I was careful about that. I wanted to make sure that you applauded me somewhat longer than you did my junior colleague.